The Baltimore Orioles made a trade for some pitching depth. Will it help? Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here on the Inside Baseball Network. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And we're going to get to the Baltimore Orioles trading for Luis Castillo. We're going to talk about an article poured out by our good friend Mark Feinsand and how some executives view the upcoming trade deadline. And we're going to talk about yesterday's games and today's games, as we always do every single day here on the show. So if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can be given their daily dose of baseball talk. How you doing this morning, Drew?
Not too bad. Better than yesterday. I wasn't on yesterday because I ended up accidentally sleeping in because the toddler decided that 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. was a great time to be up and at him. At the end of that, I took her downstairs. We slept on the couch and I slept right through my alarm and everything. So other than that, yesterday sucked, both in terms of baseball and in my own life. But, you know, we're here. It's Thursday in tropical Toledo, Ohio, so you know how it is.
Tropical Toledo, Ohio. Gotta love that beach city, man. But it's going to be a better day today, Drew. I can feel it. I can feel it in my jellies. It's going to be a better day. And, you know, we did have a lot of baseball yesterday. Detective Pikachu reference there for those who were paying attention. And we had some good baseball. We had some bad baseball. And any day with baseball is good because we love baseball here on the baseball podcast. And the Guardians and the Nationals kicked us off yesterday. Guardians won 8-6. They are now 22-15. Nationals fall to 17-21. Cantillo got the win. Emmanuel Clase got his eighth save of the year. And Michael Soroka is now 0-2 with a 7.20 ERA. Looks like the wheels fell off. I knew at one point yesterday he was having a very good start, but it looks like the wheels fell off in the sixth for Soroka there. Astros at the Brewers. Astros won 9-1. Did Drusev a favor there. The Astros are now 18-18. Brewers fall to 19-19. Framber Valdez got the win. 2-4, 3.94 ERA. Quinn Priester took the L. 1-1 with a 5.08 ERA. Pirates at the Cardinals. Cardinals won 5-0. They are now 19-19. Back at 500, the Pirates fall to 12-26. Sonny Gray, former Reds legend, got the win. 4-1, 3.50 ERA. Mitch Keller took the L. 1-4 with a 4.40 ERA. Giants at the Cubbies. Giants doing the Reds another favor there. Giants win 3-1 to move to 24-14. Cubs fall to 22-16. Robbie Ray is now 5-0 with a 2.84 ERA. And Ben Brown falls to 3-3 with a 4.95 ERA. And Walker gets the save for the Giants, his seventh of the year. Not the only Walker to get a save yesterday. Mariners at the Athletics. Mariners win 6-5. They are now 22-14. Athletics fall to 20-18. Bizardo got the win, 1-0, 4.74 ERA. Murdoch got the loss, 1-1, 13.24 ERA. Andrés Muñoz picked up his 13th save of the year. Mets at the D-Bags. Mets win 7-1. They are now 24-14. Diamondbacks fall to 19-18. Kodai Senga got the win, 4-2 with a 1.16 ERA. And Merrill Kelly took the loss, 3-2 with a 4.09 ERA. Dodgers at the Marlins. Dodgers did what they were supposed to do and beat the Marlins 10-1. Landon Knack got the win. He's 2-0 with a 4.61 ERA. And Gibson got the loss. He's now 0-1 with a 2.70 ERA. And Sauer picked up a three-inning save, his first save of the year and probably his career. Rangers at the Red Sox. Red Sox got the dub in that one, 6-4. They are now 19-19. Rangers fall to 18-19. Bernardino got the win. He's 2-1 with a 1.93 ERA. Jay Webb got the loss. He's 2-2 with a 4.91 ERA. And Aroldis Chapman threw the fastest pitch in baseball this season at 103.8 miles per hour and picked up his fifth save in the process on the year. Former Reds legend. Phillies at the Rays. Phillies won 7-0. They are now 21-15. Rays fall to 16-20. Christopher Sanchez got the win, 4-1 with a 2.89 ERA. Shane Boz got the loss, 3-2 with a 4.93 ERA. And Taijuan Walker got his first save of his career of the three-inning variety. Only two pitchers were used by the Phillies in that game, Christopher Sanchez and Taijuan Walker. So good day for the Phillies. First extra inning contest of the day. Yankees hosting the Padres, 4-3-10. Yankees moved to 21-16. Padres fall to 23-13. Devin Williams got the win. He is now 1-2 with a 9.24 ERA. And Estrada got the loss for the Padres, 1-2 with a 1.96 ERA. Finally, I'm about to get a break from talking. Reds beat the Braves 4-3. Reds moved to 19-19, back at 500. Braves fall to 17-19. Suter got the win for the Reds, 1-0 with a 2.55 ERA. Grant Holmes got the loss, 2-3 with a 4.58 ERA. And Pagan got his ninth save of the year. Thoughts on that game, Drew?
Entering the bottom of the fourth inning, Hunter Green was warming up, and he was dealing. He had two hits to this point. He was looking great. It looked like another fantastic start for him. But into the bottom of the fourth, he threw a warm up pitch and felt his groin pull. It didn't pop. He said that it didn't pop. He felt it pull. And he took himself out of the game. So three innings pitched. Super disappointing. I was on my way home from work, and I heard that over the radio, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The last thing the Reds need is Hunter Green spending time on the IL because they just lost Noelvi Marte. He's got a grade 2 oblique strain, which for normal people is about a month and a half, I think, sitting them down. For the Reds, it's probably going to take them through August because their medical staff got their degrees from clown school. So we'll see about that. There's one Red Twitter person that suggested that Sal Stewart deserves a call up. And I'm like, I would not be against that. But they're probably just going to roll with Santiago Espinal at third base, which I also would agree. Overall, no, the Reds looked all right. They gave Green four runs of support before he exited the game. Thank you to TJ Friedl with a walk-off leadoff home run and then another home run in the third on the exact same spot in the ballpark. It was a good win. It was a good win against a good team. The bullpen did a fantastic job of holding it down for those final six innings. Emilio Pagan has been great after his blown save. Tony Santillan, after throwing, I think, 37 pitches on Tuesday, came out and was nails again. So the Reds' bullpen, at least their A team, is solid. I'm loving what I'm seeing from them. Luis May is great. He looks like he's going to be a good high leverage reliever. He'll be nice to follow somebody that doesn't throw gas to speed up the batters again, because if you use him right after Hunter Green, then you're just asking for trouble because they both throw the ball harder than most. But overall, no, I like what happened with this game. It's just, Hunter Green. I really hope that it was all precautionary and that he maybe misses one start, but we're still a couple of weeks away from Rhett Lauder joining the club. I think he just finished up a start in rookie ball on his rehab, and I think the next move will be up in Dayton to join Chase Burns, which will be awesome. Who also pitched fantastic earlier this week. He had another six innings throwing gas. He's looking quite promising to this point. And I'll be interested to see if they decide to make that move at some point. But, Reds win, but at what cost?
At what cost? Hunter Green deserves a better hammy is what I'm hearing from that. Groin, you're right. My bad. I'm sorry. Groin, almost something down there in the private area. Twins host the Orioles, and they won 5-2. Twins are now 17-20. Orioles fall to 13-22, but reinforcements are on the way, and we'll talk about that later on. Danny Gloom got his first win of the year. He's 1-0 with a 0-even ERA. Charlie Morton got his major league leading 7th loss of the season. He has a 9.38 ERA. And Duran got to save his 5th of the year. Royals hosted the White Sox. They won 2-1. Royals are now 22-16. White Sox fall to 10-27. Michael Waka 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 got the win. He's 2-4 with a 2.98 ERA. Cannon got the loss, 2-4 with a 4.09 ERA. And Carlos Estevez picked up his 11th save of the year. Second extra inning ball game of the day yesterday. The Tigers at the Rockies. Tigers won 8-6 in 10 innings. They are now 23-13. Rockies are now 6-29. Vest got the win. He's 2-0 with a 2.25 ERA. And Agnos got the loss. He's 0-1 with a 0 ERA. Ghost runner. Blue Jays at the Angels. Angels won 5-4. Ghost runner and an error. Angels won 5-4. They are now 15-20. Blue Jays moved to fall to 16-20. Burt got the win, 3-0 with a 4.85 ERA. And Jeff Hoffman got the loss. He's 3-1 with a 4.24 ERA. Gave up 3 runs in the 9th. Any final thoughts on yesterday's games, Drew?
What happens first? The Rockies getting 10 wins or Memorial Day hits?
Oh, that's a good question. When is Memorial Day?
End of this Mother's month. Day.
26th. Oh, they need 4 wins by the 20. I think Memorial Day hits first.
This is so bad. another days. Yeah, another good day of baseball. Charlie Morton kind of sucks right now. That's almost a 10 ERA. That's not good. That's not good for high school baseball. That's definitely not good for the highest level of baseball. Yeah. But yeah, as you said, reinforcements on the way.
Reinforcements are, in fact, on the way. And before we get to those reinforcements, I do want to talk about this article that Mark Feinsand put out for MLB.com yesterday. Very early this morning, midnight, actually. MLB executives were polled on the top trade deadline candidates, and they were asked out of 4 players, I'm assuming, out of these 4 players, Sandy Alcantara, Luis Robert Jr., Nolan Arenado, and Framber Valdez, which of those 4 players would be the most likely to be moved ahead of the deadline? There were 17, 18, 19 votes on this. So either only 19 executives responded or only 19 executives were polled. And the votes from fewest to most, Framber Valdez and Nolan Arenado tied for last with 1 vote apiece. Luis Robert Jr. Luis Robert Jr. finished 2nd with 5 votes. And then Sandy Alcantara leads the way with 12 votes from MLB executives. Do you agree that out of these 4 players, Sandy Alcantara is the most likely to be moved?
Most likely, yes. Should he? I would probably prefer Framber Valdez personally. Don't trade Luis Robert to the Reds. I don't want Nolan Arenado, but I'm obviously thinking through a Reds lens. I do think Sandy Alcantara is going to be the most likely one to move. Because the Marlins, they're going to sell off. But some team is going to look at his 2022, and I mean, last year wasn't even that bad, but his 2022 season, and be like, I can get that out of him again. If you don't remember, Sandy Alcantara is a 2-time All-Star. Obviously, he missed all of last year. He had Tommy John, didn't he?
Yep.
And he's a 2-time All-Star, 2019, 2022. In 2022, he led led all major leaguers with 8 B-WAR. He was 14-9, obviously. Pitchers, win losses, nothing. But he had 6 complete games, and then led the league with 228 and 2/3 innings pitched. And his ERA plus was 180. I think that there's going to be a team out there that'll probably well, one, lowball Miami because they're Miami. But the lowball him because of how much he's struggled this year, and he's not been good at all. Like, he's well below replacement level in terms of WAR and ERA plus. Legitimately, he is 47% worse than league average when it comes to ERA plus. His ERA is 8.42. It has not been a good time. And honestly, if this continues, I don't even know if he's going to get traded at all, because no team is going to look at that unless they you know, send cash considerations. And be like, I don't want to take that on, even if they can get him back to the 2022 level, or think they can. That seems like it could be too much of a risk. So in terms of likelihood, yeah, I'll still say that he is probably the most likely. Framber Valdez is playing for the Astros, and he'll be, you know, he's part of a team that expects to contend. Nolan Arenado is expensive and old at this point. His glove is still ridiculous. He's still a fantastic fielding third baseman, and I will still forever hate the Colorado Rockies for trading him to the Cardinals for peanuts. And Luis Robert is an interesting one, because he has been talked about the last couple of years about being a trade acquisition for some teams. Their asking price is very high. I can't remember specifically what it was. I know I texted it to you when we found out, when opening day hit and it started to leak out. But they were asking for like a lot. They wanted, like, for the Reds, for example, because I know that they were pretty hot and heavy in terms of talking to them. They wanted a couple of top level prospects and a major league ready player and this whole thing. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to ship off Chase Petty or whomever for Luis Robert, who, you know, as you have always mentioned, because you enjoy talking about players who don't play because they're injured. Last year he played 100 games. 2 years ago it was 145, so sweet. But then before that, not even close. But yeah, no. Sandy Alcantara, most likely to be traded. I will agree with that.
I did find the text that you were talking about. This is from Drew Crabtree. For those who know who Drew Crabtree is, the White Sox were asking for guys like Edwin Arroyo, Chase Burns, and Rhett Lauder in a potential trade for Luis Robert.
No,
he vehemently shakes his head.
Chase Burns definitely off the table. Rhett Lauder, no, and Edwin Arroyo, while he may not be the sexiest pick out there, I think he's starting to develop into his bat, but he is a ridiculous fielder. So no, hands off, go away.
Yeah, I think I also agree. I think that out of these four, the most likely to be traded is Alcantara, mostly because of the fact that, yes, he has won a Cy Young before, even though he has been just absolute dog shit this year, but he has 2.5 years left on his deal. So he's still under team control for 2.5 years. And then Lou Bob is probably also going to be traded, but I do think it's a lot less likely than Sandy Alcantara. But, you know, the Reds have been a team that have been talked about to go after Lou Bob. Hopefully for Drew's sake and for anybody with common sense's sake, they don't trade that package for him. But
Jamer Candelario.
Yeah, there you go. Jamer Candelario and Lou Bob, straight up. Who says no? Of course, you know, the Phillies have also been a team that have looked into trading for Lou Bob over the past couple of years. And, you know, rumors have abounded about the Phillies. And I would be calling for Dave Dombrowski's head even more so than I already am if he made that deal, simply because of the fact that Luis Robert Jr. does not play 140 or more games in a season consistently. And he has not done it throughout his career. He is far too injury prone. And I will say, apparently the Phillies have one of the best training staffs in Major League Baseball, because Max Kepler's still not hurt. And so, you know, it's, and out of all of the teams in Major League Baseball this season, the Phillies have used the fewest amounts of different lineups I think a couple of days ago, it was 19 different lineups the Phillies have used, which I still feel like is a lot, 34 games. But the next lowest was 25. And then most other teams have used more than 30 different lineups through the first 30-some-odd games. So apparently, I don't know if the Phillies just have that great of a training staff where they can keep guys healthy. I don't know what it is. Hopefully, I'm not jinxing it. But maybe Luis Robert could stay healthy in Philly, but he's still not good enough offensively to take Johan Rojas or Brandon Marsh out of the lineup to put Luis Robert Jr. in there. Because, and again, I think he would be better on a team that is contending. The White Sox are dog shit and they're not going to be any better and they're not going to contend for years. But I think Lou Bob would do a much better on a contending team, but it would take, as Drew said, they're asking for far too much. And, you know, a team that didn't ask for too much made a trade last night, and Luis Castillo is going to the Baltimore Orioles for cash considerations. But it's Luis F. Castillo, not the good Luis Castillo. And it's a move that, A, it doesn't make sense because the Baltimore Orioles need a lot more than Luis Castillo, who they optioned to AAA, by the way, after acquiring him. But Luis F. Castillo, his major league career, he's pitched 10 and two-thirds innings. 7 of those have come this year. 5 games, 2 starts. Three games came in 2022 in relief for the Tigers. Then 2 starts this year for the Mariners. And he has a career 5.06 ERA. Again, 10 and two-thirds innings, 9 strikeouts, and a 78 ERA plus. He's not good. The Baltimore Orioles do need pitching depth. But with how they came into this season and the expectations that they had on this year, how much more should Mike Elias be doing than he did in the offseason, which was jack shit? And then now bringing in the bad Luis Castillo. Like what's going on in Baltimore, Drew?
Yeah, no, they definitely should be taking advantage. They need to be doing everything they can to make sure that they are maximizing the windows that they have for their superstars while they are still cheap. You see it all the time in the NFL. Your window for the Super Bowl, If you have a franchise quarterback, is usually when they're on that rookie contract because they're cheap. It's the same thing in Baltimore. Luis F. Castillo has made 2 starts this year, 3 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, in a loss against the Giants, and then in the win over the Astros, there's 4 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 5 walks. So he hasn't exactly been great. I think that this was just a get another arm into the system because he was DFA'd by the Mariners. So they were just like, listen, we'll just take a flyer out on him. He's a lottery ticket. He's a dart throw in the dark. He is a warm body. So I think that this is less of a, you know, we're going to try and stockpile and get better to make a run for it, and more a, let's just get another pitcher because, you know, we see it all the time. Pitchers go down for no reason at all. And they need time off, and Luis Castillo here can at least give them a couple of spot starts here and there whenever they decide to call him up. But yeah, he is 30 years old. He has, you know, pitched, you know, 10 innings. I think that he's just another arm at this point because they sent cash considerations to him, and you know it's a no risk, meh reward at this point. So no, the Orioles definitely need to figure it out. They need to decide if they're gonna actually try and go for it this year or just get through and try and attack 2026.
It's insane to me what is going on in Baltimore right now. As you put it, like, they need to capitalize on their young superstars, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Jackson Holliday is finally figuring it out at the plate at the major league level. And they just have so many other young superstars from the from when they were struggling and tanking year after year and getting the first pick in the major league draft year after year. And they're just not doing what they need to be doing to capitalize on that. They're not spending the money on the players they need to be spending the money on. They brought in Tyler O'Neill, and I know I talked about it yesterday when I was talking about the Red Sox. I have a lot more respect for Tyler O'Neill, and I like him a lot more than I did because of the fact that he has his own track man in his batting cage, and so he can track his analytics in his batting cage, and I love that. But it's still not enough bringing in Tyler O'Neill. They brought in Gary Sanchez. Why would you bring in Gary Sanchez? They brought in Charlie Morton. Why would you bring in Charlie Morton? It makes no sense. They had Corbin Burnes in the building, and they would not give him the contract that he wanted. And they did offer him a lot of money. I will say that. They did not offer him more years. And this is something that I don't understand with teams. Give the freaking superstar the years that he wants. The Braves with Freddie Freeman. The only reason that Freddie Freeman is a Los Angeles Dodger today is because the Dodgers offered Freddie Freeman one more year on his contract than the Atlanta Braves did. It was not about money. Freddie Freeman is 34, 35 years old right now. It was about the security that he is going to have for the rest of his career. He's now going to retire a Los Angeles Dodger because Alex Anthopoulos and the Atlanta Braves said, nah, we don't want you for that one extra year. That is legitimately the only reason. I don't care. From the outside looking in, I don't have any bias. I don't have anything covering me and skewing my mindset. That is legitimately why Freddie Freeman is not an Atlanta Brave, and it's freaking stupid. Dansby Swanson should still be an Atlanta Brave. It makes no freaking sense because they just did not go and pay him. Instead, Orlando Arcia, the worst shortstop in the history of baseball. He's good with the glove. He's shit at the plate. But it just, I don't understand why these teams won't just, the superstar players, when they have them in the building, why they don't just give them the contract that they want to keep them around. And now you see with the Baltimore Orioles how bad their pitching is. They legitimately have one of the worst rotations in Major League Baseball right now as far as ERA goes. Yes, they've dealt with injuries. Grayson Rodriguez has not pitched a single game this year. Zach Eflin only made 3 starts before he was injured. But they still have Dean Kramer. They signed Charlie Morton. Their best pitcher this year has been Tomoyuki Sugano, who is a 35-year-old rookie that they got out of Japan. 35-year-old rookie that they got out of Japan. I don't understand why Mike Elias still has a job. I don't understand why Brandon Hyde still has a job. It makes absolutely zero sense to me what is going on in Baltimore because there is so much potential on that team to be great. It doesn't make any sense. Gunnar Henderson was a MVP contender last year. He has not been as great this year. He's getting off to a slow start. He had an injury at the beginning of the season. Okay. Adley Rutschman, he fell off at the second half of last season. He's not as great right now. This year, he can turn it around. He is still on track to be the heir apparent to JT Realmuto as best catcher in baseball. Why Mike Elias refuses, absolutely refuses to spend money has just frustrated me beyond belief because it makes no sense. It's right there. The New York Yankees are the only competition in the American League East. If you look at the standings right now, every team that's not the New York Yankees in the American League East are at 500 or below. The Baltimore Orioles had every opportunity to make good moves in the offseason. They could have brought back Anthony Santander. I didn't even think about him. I forgot about Anthony Santander, but they didn't. And now he's on the Toronto Blue Jays. He's not performing as well with the Toronto Blue Jays as he did with the Baltimore Orioles last year, but it doesn't make any sense why they just did not spend money. And I don't understand why any team doesn't spend money. Spend freaking money. Make your team better. Try to win ball games because at the pace they're going right now, the Orioles are 13-22. They're going to finish below 500. There is no turning around from this unless they make some major significant moves. And I can guarantee you that Luis F. Castillo is not the major move that they need to make to turn this ship around. And I get that he is a depth piece, and I'm not yelling at you, Drew. It's just frustrating that a team with so much potential is we'll just play 162. Whatever happens, happens. Oh, well, it doesn't make any sense. And it's something that over the offseason, Lindsay and I both threw our own fits over multiple times because it's stupid. It just makes no sense. Why Mike Elias still has a job makes no sense. And yes, again, Luis F. Castillo, depth piece. They need depth on the pitching side. Absolutely. That, as far as being a depth piece, makes sense. As far as anything else, doesn't make any sense. Because Luis F. Castillo is not going to improve their major league worst pitching staff. One of the worst in Major League Baseball. So I don't get it. And if you thought that rant and that tirade was bad, just wait until the Philadelphia Phillies don't extend Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I mean, Troy, would you just think of these poor billionaires? So you're preaching to the choir when it comes to why don't teams spend to capitalize on their young talents, and then why don't those teams extend those, like actually pay them? So the last time the Reds gave out a good contract was Joseph Daniel Votto in 2012, and it was like $250 million, 12 years. Money well spent. Joey Votto, worth it, every penny. And I'm definitely with you. There is legitimately no reason, as punchable as a face as he has, that Freddie Freeman should not be an Atlanta Brave. Like, that would be one of the best investments that the Braves could have ever made, because Freddie Freeman is an Atlanta Brave. When he retires, he should be revered in the same idea as Chipper and the same headspace as all those great pitchers from the 90s. He is a consummate Brave, but he's, what you said, 33, 34? Like, what are you doing? What is an extra year? But with the Orioles, they need to make a real move. May I suggest the Nick Martinez? I'm just throwing it out there. But they do need to make a legitimate move, or else this season is going to be lost, and Orioles fans are going to sound a lot more like you when it comes to calling for the head of their GM and everything, because it bugs the ever-loving crap out of me that 75% of Major League Baseball is actively not trying to win baseball games. And if you have talents like Adley Rutschman, Jackson Holliday, and Gunnar Henderson, you need to be trying to win baseball games. Because you can field a great team with three good players. The Rockies aren't trying to win baseball games. They don't have major league players on that roster right now. The Orioles have major league baseball players on that roster. And even if they can't catch the Yankees, the wild card is still in their sights. So it's just malpractice. That's all there is to it. And yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I'm just as frustrated with it this year with Cincinnati, because they didn't go out and get anybody.
Yeah, I did have to look up Freddie Freeman because we talked about him a little bit here. He signed that deal with the Dodgers ahead of the 2022 season, which was his age 32 campaign. It was a 6-year deal. Or $162 million, very team-friendly deal. And 2025, right now, he is in his age 35 season. He started the year on the injured list, so you'd think he was not doing that great, of course. You know, if you're not paying attention to the Dodgers, Freddie Freeman's not doing that great. You'd be freaking wrong. He's leading the National League in batting average and slug. His batting average is .362. His slug is .713. He has a 1.148 OPS and a .222 OPS plus.
Malpractice.
Matt Olson. I am a Matt Olson fan. I've always been a Matt Olson fan from his time in with the Athletics. And a big part of that is because he's a Gold Glover. He plays 162 games pretty regularly. He's been doing it for the last, I think, 3 years in a row. I think his entire time with the Braves, I don't think he's missed a single game. I could be wrong. He might have missed one or two in his first year. It's beside the point. General managers like Mike Elias, general managers like Alex Anthopoulos, who we're going to spend a whole episode one day talking about Alex Anthopoulos, and we might have to have Lindsey Crosby come on as a guest for that one as well. But I don't understand. I just don't get it. All of this stuff, I've said it time and time again, man, and I know people are probably tired of hearing it. All of this stuff is freely and readily available for any and everyone. If Drew and I can look this stuff up, I guarantee you, these general managers can do the same thing, and they probably have more stuff that they can look up than we can. It makes no sense to me. But I don't know. Luis Castillo is a Baltimore Oriole. I mean, good job, I guess. And the Baltimore Orioles play a baseball game today at 1:10 p.m. Eastern, first game of the day at the Twins. Dean Kramer at Bailey Ober. Orioles look to move to 14-22. Twins look to move to 18-20. 25 minutes later, Rangers at the Red Sox. Rangers look to move to 19-19. Red Sox look to move to 20-19. Jack Leiter against Brian Bello. 35 minutes later, 2:10 p.m. Eastern, White Sox at the Royals. Martin at Boob Itch. White Sox look to move to 11-27. Royals look to move to 23-16. 4 hours, 55 minutes later, Phillies at the Rays, 7:05 p.m. Eastern. Phillies look to move to 22-15 and complete the sweep. Rays look to keep from being swept and move to 17-20. Jesus Luzardo, Jesus Lizard Day at Ryan Pepio. 10 minutes after that, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, getaway day for the Reds in their series in Atlanta. Reds look to move to 20-19 and take the series. Braves look to move to take the series, right?
Split
the series, and then the Braves look to move to 18-19. Nick Lodolo at Spencer Schwellenbach. Thoughts on today's game, Jerusalem?
Nick Lodolo, let's go. I love Nick Lodolo, and I'm hoping that this is another strong start from him. I am looking for Matt McClain has been getting on base a little bit more regularly. His on base and his batting average, especially, but his on base has been a bit misleading to this point, and yes, it's been incredibly frustrating, but he's been hitting the ball. It's just finding gloves. So getting a split out of this and getting back over the 500 mark is absolutely crucial for the Cincinnati Reds. I am incredibly worried because if there are any issues with Nick Lodolo in terms of not getting through 5-6 innings, it'd be awesome if he can pitch 7 innings because he's pretty efficient with his pitches. That bullpen has been worked, and the good arms in the bullpen have been worked. So I am not super optimistic unless the Reds can just jump on Sir Swellenbach. So you got to get the split. That's all that there is to it. You've lost two games in this series that you definitely could have won. And obviously last night you very easily could have lost that game. Got to get that split. Got to get back over 500 and onto the next series.
Indeed. 2 hours, 23 minutes after that, 9:38 p.m. Eastern, Blue Jays at the Angels. Chris Bassett at Soriano. Blue Jays look to move to 17-20. Angels look to move to 16-20. 2 minutes later, Dodgers at the D-Bags. Wow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto starting on a Thursday. What is today Thursday? What is going on? Huh. Okay. Dodgers look to move to
Thursday.
Yeah. It threw me off with Yamamoto starting. Dodgers look to move to 26-12. Diamondbacks look to move to 20-18. Yamamoto at Fott. And then 6 hours, 30 minutes before that, 3:10 p.m. Eastern, game one of a doubleheader. Tigers at the Rockies. Of course, play both of those. Casey Mize going for the Tigers in the first one. TBD going for the Tigers in the second one. Kyle Freeland for the Rockies in the first one. And Gordon for the Rockies in the second one. Tigers look to move to 25-15 if they win both. Rockies would move to 8-29 if they win both. So even with the doubleheader, only 9 games today. But final thoughts on today's slate of baseball, Drew.
Praise be, Jesus Lizard. That Dodgers D-backs matchup is going to be really fun. Yoshinobu Yamamoto has been on another level this year, and I think that if it was my betting money, I would put it on him for NL Cy Young. I do understand the hype around the guy whose name I can't remember.
Skeens.
Why can't I remember that? I got too many things going on in my head. There's a lot of hype around Skeens, and is all of it justified? But right now, if you're just looking at what's going on the field, Yoshinobu Yamamoto is my favorite to take the Cy Young through this, you know, this early start of the season. And against Fott, that's a really good matchup out on the West Coast.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to be interested to see if he can. He's pitching a day earlier than he normally does. He normally gets an extra day of rest. So I'm going to be interested to see how that affects him and if it affects him in tonight's start, especially against that Diamondbacks lineup. They're sneakily a pretty good lineup, especially with Ketel Marte back. Came back in that Philly series over the weekend. But, yeah, good day of baseball. Not as many games, but still a good day of baseball. Some good baseball games out there. And it's always a good day when there is baseball. And it's always a good day here at First Pitch. So if you're watching on YouTube, again, hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk and me yelling about a team I have no emotional ties to. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.